We read from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. So what do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father, so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Today we celebrate together. This is an often repeated ordinance in the life of this church. Several of you know how symbolic this day is. Yet we come to rejoice together, even through our traditional symbolism of today. You're about to hear a couple of individuals proclaim their love for God and hear their public confession of Jesus Christ. Following their proclamation, they will enter into the example of Christ's baptism. This is an ordinance of the New Testament, ordained by Jesus Christ, a visible sign of fellowship with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. So please, during this celebration, place your attention on God. Give him the glory he deserves as he changes lives. Now, if you note here, there's a candle that's been lit from the beginning of this service. This candle reminds us of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. After each baptismal candidate arises out of the water, an individual who has been of spiritual help in their journey of faith will come and light a candle to indicate the movement from darkness into light for the candidate. Christ being that light. Symbolically, we are saying a new light for Christ has begun. Immediately when the candidate rises from the water, we will sing their favorite song. So we would ask that you look at the screen, sing enthusiastically as we join the voices of the angels rejoicing in heaven. Reflect upon your own commitment to Christ today. Maybe for you, as you observe this ordinance, you feel the tug of God on your own heart. You desire to walk in obedience through these waters as well. Please don't neglect that tug. Strengthen your walk with God and talk to one of the staff or an elder after the service. Even though believers' baptism is an often repeated ordinance in the life of a congregation, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the believer. It's a wonderful celebration for this church. Amen? You got it. Just checking to see you're still there. You are. We need to come with reverence. We need to come sincerely worshiping God during this experience. We need to rejoice along with the heavens for each person following Christ's example through these waters. Let's pray. Father, we call upon you this morning for your protection as we celebrate the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, even as I sit in this water, I feel so unworthy to perform this act. But Lord, because of you, you call us worthy. And so, Father, we rejoice today. We rejoice with you. We rejoice with the heavens. This is a very exciting celebration in the life of this church. We realize that the devil himself angers easily over such times of celebration. God, we just pray that you would just protect us, grant us your peace. We give you praise and we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who is buried and who rose again on the third day. Lord, may your thoughts be our thoughts. We pray for those walking through these waters. Keep them strong in faith, Lord, ever steadfast in hope, abounding in love. Bestow on them the many gifts of your loving grace, that they may serve you authentically. God, protect us as we glorify you through these waters. May you truly be glorified. Through the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You all excited? I tell you, this water is nice and warm. You were just waiting for me to say that, weren't you? Betty, you have already shared your faith with persons of this body, believers, and on that basis, we're prepared to proceed with your baptism. However, so that your faith and integrity of purpose may appear to all, would you share briefly with this congregation your experience of Jesus Christ?
I was raised in a caring family. I gave my life to Christ when I was in grade 5 or 6 and prayed the prayer from my Gideon's Bible. As I left home and started attending church and Bible studies, my faith grew. God blessed me through my life, through the good and the not so good times. He gave me the guidance I needed to make decisions at the right time, in the right way, with dignity. No matter what has happened or will happen, I know that God is there for me, my personal Savior. I can talk to Him, and I know He hears me, and God is dependable. I may not always get what I ask Him for, but God knows best, and I can yield my destiny to Him, no questions asked. The Bible verse that I especially love is Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot on a stone. My faith was really tested when my husband decided he wanted a different life. I had then 3 very young children, no job, but in my heart I knew that God would come through for me. God worked miracles for me as I went back to university. He removed many obstacles from my path, and I was able to complete 2 years of studies in one. This in itself was a real miracle from God. All through this time, I could see God's hand looking after my family. I thank God for my mom, who was such a great help for me at this time. I thank God for His word and the promises within it. Because God's word is truth, then it was so dependable for me. It enabled me to rise above my hurts. God is very faithful. Another Bible verse that I claimed then and continue to claim is Isaiah 54:5, which says, "For your Maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." My children are now adults, and I thank God for His faithfulness to us all. I know that God walks with me every day of my life. I am thankful that I have Jesus and I can bring anything to Him in prayer, confident that He will understand. He has given me peace, contentment, security, and hope for the future, and I am truly thankful. Another verse that I love says is Isaiah 40:31, which reads, "But those that wait upon the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint."
Today I give to you this charge from the Word of God, the words of Solomon, who said, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." Okay, are you ready? This is going to be fun now. Ready upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Feels great in here, doesn't it? Well, Mariel, you have as well mentioned to many people in this congregation your faith. You've shared it with many people, and we're prepared to proceed with your baptism. However, so that your faith and integrity of purpose may appear to everyone here, Would you share briefly with them your experience of Jesus Christ in your life?
My testament surrounds the lives of two little girls that were placed in my life, my granddaughters. Nikki and Cassandra were just babies when God allowed me to raise at a very sad part of my life.
You're okay. It's all right. So am I. Excuse me.
Nikki was born 9 months after my husband passed away, and I always think of her as my little gift from heaven. Cassandra was born not quite a year later, so I was doubly blessed. I grew up with Christianity in my very early years. My grandmother sent my brother and I to church every Sunday with my grandfather. We also had evangelists come to our reserve every summer, and we children participated in worship songs and crafts for about 3 weeks during the summer holidays. They also had a big tent with revival ministry and song in the evening. I continued my faith at a residential school and was confirmed at age 12. We had grace at every meal and said prayers at night and went to chapel every Sunday. It wasn't the in-your-face kind of religion, but we did have to memorize some scripture and verses. When I left the residential school, I did not attend church regularly. As years went by, I was a CNE kind of attendee, Christmas and Easter. I also longed for that warm feeling I felt when I did attend. Although I did not attend, I always knew God was with me. Whenever things went wrong in my life, I always knew to pray. My family doctor was a Christian, and sometimes when in conversation with him, he would say, "I'll pray for you," or "go with God." I now know that God had placed people in my life along the way. I also met another lady that had become a born-again Christian, and she often invited me to church with her. I often felt inferior to her because I didn't know the Bible as well as her, and quite frankly, didn't know how to pray as eloquently as her. I felt her religion was just a little too extreme in comparison to what I grew up with. I was a bit turned off. She did give me a Bible, however, which I still read and is now falling apart. The only one scripture in the Bible that I never forgot and always remembered was Luke 15. God knew that this lost sheep would be found someday. My Bible wasn't really read until I moved from Calgary to Airdrie. I moved into an apartment next door to a church, and I felt the need to attend one Sunday, and the girls and I attended, and it was the last Sunday that the minister was going to be there. I met some wonderful people, and they would always invite me to come back. And I would say, yeah, but still didn't attend. During the time of almost a year, I started reading my Bible and tuning into 100 Henry Street and reading the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. I did eventually start going to church every Sunday and started becoming involved in different ministries. I had Nikki and Cassandra and my other granddaughter, Melina, baptized there. I so loved going to church, and so did the girls. There was a time, however, when the girls became a certain age when they started feeling that they didn't belong and they didn't understand the sermon and they would not attend regularly. I had the feeling that they were drawing away. Then came the big decision to move to Prince Albert. I had moved from Prince Albert 30-some years ago, and I'd always said I would never move back to Prince Albert for love or money. Well, God had other plans for me. We moved right next door to a church again. I longed to attend my church faith, but had no way of getting there. We finally started coming off and on and was drawn by the music. It was the same music we had back at our neighbor church, and I felt comfortable. The girls came and attended the year-end barbecue for the youth and enjoyed themselves, and they were asked to attend again in the fall, and they did. God certainly did have different plans for me, and I now realize that God's purpose for my coming back to Prince Albert is very different from my own. As I mentioned earlier, I felt that Nikki and Cassandra had not been spiritually fed, and now they're quite involved in the First Baptist Youth Group. They will be attending MDT this weekend for a week, and although they don't quite know what they're getting themselves into, they're willing to participate, as this will be a journey in their Christian walk. As for myself, I know that I've been spiritually fed, and I've learned so much in the short time that I've been here, and look forward for a lifetime of getting to know my personal Savior.
There you go. That's wonderful. I give you this charge from the Word of God, the words of King David, who said, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands." Get your hands ready. Mary, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, what an awesome day. You heard what God does in a person's life. You know how Jesus can change and affect lives. That's the message. That's where it all sits, is right there. And I don't know about you, but I always get ministered to whenever I do a baptism. I, myself personally, get ministered by what other people speak of, their testimony of Christ. And we come to this point in our service that we talk about the candles. And this is the part that I love to talk about. But I want to read from John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world, and to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." What an awesome day. Amen? How special to rejoice, and how special to celebrate together. I'm sure that our Heavenly Father is just as excited today watching his children walk through these waters. What joy springs from heaven. What rejoicing for us today. Let me ask you a question. Today, as you observe this celebration, did you remember your own baptismal day, for those of you who have been baptized? What a great day that was for you. Memories were flooding your mind, I'm sure, because they do for me. I think back of when I was baptized. Think back how I didn't want to, you know. I was trying to talk my pastor out of it, and he said, "You don't have to talk me out of it. You have to talk yourself into it." Some of you may feel the tug of God and have felt the tug of God today as you desire to walk through these waters yourself. Or maybe you just understand now in a better way that you need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never grabbed a hold of him, but you've heard today that you need to grab a hold of him. I mentioned that a baptismal celebration contains a vast amount of symbolism. The candle creates within us a desire to share our experience of Christ with other people. These people baptized here this morning, they had many Christians speaking to them, many praying for them, many demonstrating Christ to them, which brought them to this place today. And that's why the process of discipleship is so important and so critical for us. It's important that this occurs. And that's why we have the candle lighting, to demonstrate that it takes all of us together to be obedient to Christ. Look at these candles. Aren't they great? It's hot. It's giving heat, I tell you. Even if I blew these candles out, there would still be light in this room. God's like that. Even
even during the moments when we think he's not there, his love shines through. These candles give us a picture of commitment. They present to us the reality that our walk with God is such a powerful, such a life-giving tool that others need to see. Let's shine, friends. Let's shine for him. You know, I was looking around and I was thinking, we have many at the lake this weekend. And, you know, we have people who are on holidays and we're praying for them. And I was thinking about how we as God's people are so effective and infectious to others around. I've heard that many times. You know, well, you go to First Baptist Church. I don't even say I'm your pastor. I don't admit that, just to help you out. You know, I'm the pastor there. And they, oh man, you know, like I hear about First. Why do they hear? Because of these. It's like this. We just shine. We glow. We got to keep shining and glowing for him. Amen. Why I love baptism services. There's one candle here that needs to be lit. It hasn't been lit yet. That candle's for you. That's your candle. Now maybe you realize today that need to commit yourself fully to following Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to follow Christ's example, become obedient to him as you've heard and seen here today. That candle awaits you. It's your candle. Maybe for you, you're saying, wow, I need to disciple somebody. I need to help somebody come to know who Jesus Christ is. That is your candle as well. You can light that candle. That's for you. Don't deprive the candle being lit. Rejoice. Rejoice in him. Ask him to give you the strength. Worship the light that has entered this world and gave us the supreme example, the supreme example. Let your heart burn with the fire of God's love. And then let that fire just spread. Let it spread. Boy, I can't tell you how wonderful it is for us to gather on Sunday mornings and worship. I look forward to this. Not because I get to talk and love the sound of my own voice, but I just love gathering together as God's people, rejoicing together, because he is so pleased. He is so pleased. And while we're going to say farewell to some good friends today after the service, you know what? They're missionaries. They're going off to do God's work, right? That's what we do. First sends them out to Saskatoon. That's how it works. Great. Oh, let's pray. I had to get a laugh out of you somehow, so it's great. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, and we rejoice today. And God, everything that has happened here today, it's because of you. Father, you deem us worthy as your people. There are many people here, God, who have a ministry, who have a servant heart, and they work behind the scenes even to bring the culmination of today. And so, Father, we rejoice in that. We rejoice knowing that you have called us to serve and you've called us, Lord, to be obedient to you. And so we want nothing more than as a church, as your family, as your children, to be obedient to you in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.